Paritator Ramash to Yudhas Shvat Tovshin Ein Zain Ratzvi Silva.
The mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah we do every single day, every day of the week, 6 days a week. And the Gemara Menachos says it's not just one mitzvah, it's actually eight mitzvahs. Every time you put on tefillin, four mitzvahs, tefillin shaliyat, says four times in the Torah, in Parsha Shema, V'haftan, V'mshavaya, Kaddish, V'kiviach, the four parshas in the tefillin. Having them each time, the mitzvah tefillin, says four for shaliyat, four for shalrosh. Each time putting on tefillin is like eating eight times Kezayis Matzah Leil Pesach. It's a tremendous mitzvah which you do every day, and it's definitely well worth the effort of getting it clear and making sure, confirming we take it, do it correctly, and mekayim the mitzvah properly. Many sgulis in the mitzvah we discussed last time, the Gemara promises Arichas Yomim, and many other things. And there's many great ideas in the mitzvah of tefillin. Many of these soydus of Yiddishkeit, of these parshas, Yitzitz Mitzrayim is in tefillin, which was done for Kabbalah Satorah. That's the reason for tefillin. Leman Tiyatir Hashem Beficha, to remember Yitzitz Mitzrayim, which led us to become the holy nation, to be mekayim the mitzvahs. And all these soydus, Shema V'ahavta, all these soydus of Yiddishkeit are in there. Now, last time, 2 weeks ago, we discussed the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad. And just to go over very shortly, the main point was that the makim, the right place for tefillin shel yad, is at the upper part of the arm on the muscle, what the Gemara calls the kiboyres, which is, according to Rishonim, kiboyres means a gathering, a pile, which here means a pile of flesh, the muscle. On the muscle, that is the right place. The entire tefillin has to be on the muscle. It's not enough, it starts there, the whole thing, till the end bit has to be on that muscle, ideally at the bottom part of the muscle, closer to the elbow. But if it's too big, the tefillin, or if it's hard to get it, rather a bit higher, which is still the muscle, then lower, which is off the muscle, that's definitely no good. So that we discussed last time. Today we would like to go into the second half of tefillin, which is the tefillin shel Rosh. So starting off with the Gemara Menachos, that's what the sugya is in the Aflamet Zayin, and the Gemara says, Gemara is the famous pasuk Ukshatum lois al yodecho V'hoi l'toitofos, which refers to tefillin shel Rosh, Bein einecho. Now Bein einecho usually would mean somewhere here, which is as the Karoim did it down here. I don't know how they fit the tefillin down here, but okay. But as is very well known, Chazal come along and say, no, this is not the meaning of the pasuk. It might sound like it, but as is often the case, we need the Torah Shebaal Peh to explain what Torah Shebiksar means. And Bein Enecho, Chazal say, means between the eyes, but higher up. So we'll come later to between the eyes and not sideways, that will be later on. Meanwhile, we're discussing it's between the eyes, but not down here, rather higher up on the hair. And the Gemara brings for that a mekoyer from the parsha of Kehane, where it says, Lo yisasimu korcho ben yenechem. There's an issa when a person has Rachman and Litzon Aveilus, someone in his close family was nifte, then sometimes out of tzar, out of pain, the people would pull their hair out. And that is an issa to do. Lo yisasimu korcho bein yeneichem lemeis. One shouldn't pull out the hair and go so far in the tzar. Now there also says bein yeneichem, but there's no hair between the eyes. So the Pesuk is talking about pulling out hair from between the eyes. There's no hair between the eyes. So Chazal say that Pesuk definitely means above. So what the Bein Enechem there is doing, that's a different story. But there it's clear, it means on the hair, because that's where you pull the hair out. So the same thing by tefillin, the Bein Enecho does not mean literally between the eyes, it means on the hair, just like over there. And the Gemara calls it, earlier on in Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin, Bein Enecho zu kotkot. Kotkot is the forehead. The forehead, which means the upper part of the forehead. And then the Gemara adds another important point, that another sign where the place of tefillin is, and that is Mokim Shemoichoi Shel Tinog Roifes, which means the place where a child whose head is shaped differently, it takes time till the shape of the head goes regular by a child. Often you look at the child, you see the head is shaped very differently, and it's because the two parts of the skull are not together yet, and above is still soft.
It pulsates
still. And then it goes slowly together. You can feel it. Yeah, you can feel it, yeah? Okay, that's what the Gemara means, instinct, yeah? So if you put your hand on top, you would feel, actually, that's what the Gemara means. It's the place where the brain of the child is roifes. Rashi says roifes means it's soft. Others say, but you're saying you feel it pulsating, okay? So that is the place of tefillin, which is somewhere at the upper part of the head. The Rishonim, in fact, discuss this point. Is it at the fore part of the head or the upper part of the head? And they say, well, beginning and end. The place of tefillin starts by the hairline, where you can pull out hair from, and it ends where the moyach of a child is soft, where the brain of a child is soft. It's actually machlokes where that is. Okay, now we're going a bit into already till where's the makim tefillin. Some say it's at the highest part of the head, some say it's between the head, the beginning of the head and the highest part is somewhere till here. Okay, let's go back to that later on. Those are just the two simonim Chazal give us. But one thing is clear. It's very important to know that the Beine Necho is learned from Korcho, Korcho meaning pulling out hair. This is very important because when we come Taka to discuss where exactly is the place for tefillin, and we know it's on the hair, it does not mean on the actual hair, it actually means on the roots of the hair. And the Mishmur discusses this very clearly. He says people think that if they have long hair, well, it's fine if my tefillin are on my hair. Because I know the Gemara says that Ben Enecha doesn't mean literally between the eyes, it means on the hairline. Fine, my tefillin on my hair. But no, the tefillin have to be where you can pull hair out. Because Kochum is pulling hair out. And pulling out hair is not at the end of the length of the hair, it's at the root. Pulling out hair means by its roots. And therefore the priest can say very, very clearly that the mokim of tefillin is by the roots of the hair. And if someone has long hair, that's not a heter to put the tefillin on the length of the hair. They have to be where the hair starts growing. If someone has short hair, it makes a difference. If someone has longer hair, it's very important to remember that the tefillin have to be where the roots of the hair are. In fact, by having long hair can be different problems. If chatzitze, even the many persons are making particular. Let's not go into that now. Now, it's not enough, says the Mishavura and many, many other poskim. It's not enough, and this could be the most important point of the Shia today, of Hirchas Tefillin Shel Rosh. It's not enough that part of the Tefillin Shel Rosh is on the hair. And when we say hair, we mean the roots of the hair. It's not even enough, says the Mishavura, if most of the Tefillin are on the hair roots. It has to be that the entire full Tefillin are lying on the hair, on the roots of the hair. The entire full tefillin meaning not only the top part, okay, this is the box of the tefillin, but let's imagine that tefillin. Not only the box where the four parshas are in, this is called the ketzitza. It's not enough that the ketzitza is lying on the hair. It has to be that the whole thing, even the base, which is called the titura, till the end bit of the base, has to be lying fully on the hair. And even the last bit of the titura shouldn't be below the root of the hair. And this is quite a common...
Hairline.
Shouldn't be below the hairline.
Should not be below.
Should not be below the hairline, yeah. And this is a common mistake. The various reasons why this mistake happens. But you see in the Achronim, this mistake has been going on for all generations. And the Taz already 500 years ago says that it's quite common that people allow the tefillin to slip down, whether knowingly or not knowingly, and the bottom, the end part of the tefillin is lying below the hairline. So the Taz, many hundred years ago, already screaming it. And the Chaya Odom, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Orach HaShulchan, and the Mishavura. Until today, we'll often notice, unfortunately, people sometimes, there's various reasons for that. Either because the kesher is too loose, there's various reasons why this happens. Either because the kesher, on which the tefillin lies, is too loose to begin with, not too loose, I mean too big to begin with, or, and this is something everyone realizes, that this is made from leather, which will stretch over time, especially if one puts some tefillin on wet hair, but even without it, over time it will soften and stretch, which will make the hole bigger, and even if the tefillin at the beginning, when you went to the sofa, was the right size, and everything ended up perfect, like we discussed, the kesher was in the right place, and the bias was in the right place, but over time it will stretch, and even a little bit of stretching might very possibly let the tefillin slip, at least the bottom part of the tefillin, might easily slip below the hairline, and that's a big pity, because the...
Or they slipped, but at least at the time before it slipped, they were on the right.
Still a pity.
That was
the case for yesterday, not for today. It's still a pity. It was 8 mitzvahs and 2 brachas we make on tefillin, not something we do on every mitzvah. So that's definitely worth checking out. And many poskim write that one should have the tefillin checked out at least a few times a year, at least once or twice a year. It's not hard to check out, really. One could ask even someone else, or even feel it yourself. Is my tefillin? It has to be checked out, just as we put made a note of it. Is my kesher, we'll discuss the kesher later on, in the right place? Is the bias in the right place? This many people do it very easily by feeling, you can feel the hairline. Is the tefillin below the hairline or above? Is it above the hill? And that's fine. And otherwise, one should have the kesher made small. It's not a hard thing to do. And any sofik should be able to do that. I myself have taught myself how to do it. It's not so hard to do it. It can be done quite easily. If someone knows how to do it, it takes literally a minute or two. You have to say l'shem kedushas tefillin, and then you do it. Once you get a technique, it's not hard. I actually trained myself before this, you know, how to do it. It's not hard to do it. But you have to know how to do it. But it's definitely something important. The Chashoch, in fact, writes, how fortunate are those shuls who have someone designated. As embarrassing as it is sometimes to tell a person, very hard to tell a person, your tefillin are not in the right place. People don't take well to being told. But okay. It's definitely worth looking into that, making sure that the tefillin are in the right place. And they're all warned that there are those people who think that it's enough that the bias, the kitzutz, is on the right place. And if the bottom part is hanging below, nish gefelech, as long as this is the main part of the tefillin, this is where the four parishes are. But he says no, they all say no, even the titura has to be, it's also part of the tefillin, very important part of the tefillin, has to be on the right, has to all be in the right place. Why? In Lomdes, why taka don't we say rubi kikuloi? Sometimes we do say that it's enough if most of something is there. Why don't we say this? Here, that's a discussion on its own. But that's definitely in clear in halacha that we don't say it over here. Here you need the whole tefillin is lying in the right place.
We'll come to that.
In fact, the Shlach HaKodesh writes, that it's better, Mishmur brings on many poskim, it's better that rather the tefillin should be a bit high than a bit low. Which means like this. Let's discuss the actual place of tefillin, then we'll see what the ideal place is. The actual place of tefillin starts by the hairline, not at the end of the hairs, but by the hairline where you can pull the hair out, by the roots. And till where does it go to? So we mentioned the Gemara before, it says, till where the head of a child is still soft, is still pulsating. Now this is a major machlok zrishonim, I have checked out in reality, I'm not sure, but major machlok zrishonim, like we mentioned before, whether it means the top of the head, the highest point, or it means the middle. We say something means two shittes, between the highest and the lowest point, there is the end. Now this makes a big difference, because if you say it's only till the middle, then there isn't so much space for tefillin. And Mishabu says that ideally you get it between the middle and the hairline. But if one has got big tefillin, or if you're not sure about it, much, much rather go upwards than downwards. Very similar to tefillin sheliad. Much rather go a bit up, because according to many Rishonim you got till here. So if you put the tefillin from here anywhere, it's fine, okay? Ideally a bit lower, but you can't go higher. Much better this than going too low, because no one holds it. Too low is okay. Too low, which means even if a little bit of the tefillin is below the hairline, that's no good. That's already so below the point of tefillin, that's a big pity. So ideally, rather go a bit up. The Shlach HaKodesh brings a remez, v'svivov nis'aro ma'oy. The posuk, he says, v'svivov, around the tefillin, nis'aro should be sar. Rather leave a bit of hair around the tefillin. Don't put it mamish at the lowest possible point, because then if it slips a little bit and a bit it moves, then it's already too low. Rather a bit higher. Very, very often it's hard, especially someone that has a smaller head, because you have to have the kesher in the right place and the shaliyah rosh, and you don't want it to be loose, it has to be mahudik, so it's hard to get it. But once you got the kesher exact, then it's fine. The next time you have to check it, because it might turn loose, but okay.
Just a quick point for clarification. If you take the picture, the bottom, the lower part of the titura is a sort of an S.
Yeah, so that's why I've got this picture. We'll come to that soon. In fact, this picture is a preparation for that point. I'm just using it meanwhile, we'll come to that. And Mishmur Taki discusses that maybe this is another reason not to have too big tefillin. This major shaila we discussed last time is a better big tefillin, a small tefillin. On the one hand, big tefillin is easier to write the parshas and to make sure they're kosher. Small tefillin needs smaller parshas, much harder to write exact. On the other hand, big tefillin, you run into trouble that you easily slip out of place. Because it easily go a bit too low, a bit too high. The smaller the tefillin are, the much easier it is to get it in the right place. Same by Sheliad. Big tefillin, Sheliad is even harder than Sherosh. Sheliad, you got less space than Sherosh. Sheliad, if it's big tefillin, it's easily beyond the kosher area to begin with, which is a big problem. But okay, that's already we discussed last time. The minig is, we have our size tefillin, which are somewhere in between big and small. Now, a few shalas in the makom of Sheliad. Just a few shalas. So the first shalas I want to discuss is, some people have a round hairline. Some people have a straight hairline, which means it starts at the two ends of the forehead and it's quite straight. Then it's very straightforward, yeah? Straight line is straightforward where the end of Mokim Tefillin is. But some people have a round hairline or pointy. And that might cause, or will cause, or can cause, that the corners of the Tefillin will be below the hairline. So you might have a case where the middle of the Tefillin, well, I have a straight hairline, I think. So those who have a slanty hairline, it might cause that the middle of the Tefillin is on the hairline, on the hairs, but the corners are out of the kosher area because it's got this round hairline. You see this picture so far, but it's such an idea. Yeah? So you got the corners, which are, is that okay? Do we look at the middle of the tefillin? That is above the hairline, so it's fine. Or do we say, no, you need the entire full tefillin on the hairline? And many Poskim say that you do need the entire tefillin on the hairline, which means this person will have to push up. So we'll discuss if his hairline is receding. We're talking now about mitzvah, let's say. So many Poskim say, and as we mentioned from the Shlo HaKodesh, that v'svivov nis'arem, or the Poskim means something else, but he's using it with the Remes, that v'svivov around the tefillin, nis'aro should be sar, which means around the whole tefillin. If you got the corners out, then you don't have hair around the entire tefillin. And therefore, many persons write that this person should pick up the tefillin to make sure that the entire tefillin is above the hairline. The Sefer Eretz Tzvi, who was a Magid Shir in Chachmei Lublin before the war, tremendous God, he's got a lot about tefillin, specifically tremendous lomdis in the Kojic Lover. And he writes that there was a Kol Koire in his time, which means a lot of Rabbonim signed on the notice to warn about this point. Obviously, they've noticed people didn't realize that, so a lot of Gedolei Torah signed. On this point, that make sure even the corners are above the hairline. So this is one point. Now what happens, another small point is, some people have hair on the forehead. I mean, it's another extreme. Some people have hair on the forehead, sometimes younger people have it, that won't count as hair, because the hair here, Chazal say, is on top of the head, not on the metzach. Many places can say that the lotion of the Rishonim is somuch le metzach. Has to be the head above the hair above the forehead, not the hair on the forehead. Okay, and the most common shaila which people ask could be is, I have a receding hairline. Yeah, many people with age, the hairline goes up. Yeah, it recedes backwards. So what do I do now? Do I have to each time adjust my tefillin and where they're going to end up to eventually? Some people entirely eventually ended up without hair on the forehead. So most Poskim take on, as far as I know, that you go after the original hairline. You stick to where the hairline was when a person was younger, that's where he put in his tefillin, that's where he will stay putting his tefillin. Otherwise, they say you're going to end up going backwards until where? Until further than the place of tefillin. That's also impossible to say. Some people don't have hair to begin with. What are they going to do? Those people who don't have hair to begin with are going to put a tefillin where most people have the hairline. Where most people have the hairline, that's where they're going to make sure the tefillin is. So someone has a regular hairline, straight, very straightforward where he puts his tefillin until his hairline. Someone has a bit of a pointy or round hairline, okay, also above the hairline. It's a receding hairline, or someone is losing his hair entirely, or didn't have hair the forehead to begin with. Some people only have hair at the back, not at the front. He's not going to put his tefillin at the back. He's going to put the tefillin where most people have their hair. That's what most Poskim agree. Now here we have a very interesting shaila now, and that's this picture. Some people have a bit of a slanty upper head. Is that what you call it? Upper head? Yeah. Sorry? The crown of the head. Some people have more of a slant at the crown of the head, which will cause this to happen, meaning that the tefillin will start lying on the head because the kesher is keeping it firm onto the head. But the end part, the front half of the tefillin, can very easily, and if you look around, many people have that to a certain degree, some more, some less, but there'll be a gap of air between the front of the tefillin and the head, because the head is going on a curve, the crown is going a bit downwards, and the tefillin is flat at the bottom, it's not made on a slant. So, where does that take us? Is that okay? Well, it's above the hairline, but it's not on the hair. So this takes us a very interesting shaila. It isn't much time for this, but there's a very interesting shaila like this. It takes us a bit into Hichas Chatzitza. We know you shouldn't have a Chatzitza separation between the tefillin and the body. The tefillin should be lying on the body. If one has a Chatzitza, that's a shaila to ask how to deal with that. Often it's better to push the tefillin a bit higher or lower if it's still kosher. Otherwise, there's other halachas. But ideally, one shouldn't have a Chatzitza. Now, normally, air is not a chatzitza. Normally, we say a person who does anything which netilas yadayim or mikvah, whatever it is, which can't have chatzitza, so he shouldn't have a plaster, something which doesn't belong there.
We'll come to that in a minute.
So, air normally is not chatzitza. Usually, air would not be a problem. This would be considered lying on the body. But there's a choshev birke Yosef. The chido in the sefer on Shechnoch birke Yosef says a chiddush that tefillin has got different rules. Tefillin has got different halachas. He says the normal hilchos chatzitza will not apply here, and the reason is because the pasuk says v'hoyu l'teitofos beinenecha, le'ois al yodecha. And this has to be on the body. The Torah says specifically put the tefillin on the body, and therefore he says this is more strict than usual hilchos chatzitza. So a few interesting shailas which I'm going to get to this. You mentioned the watch. So Rav Padre in his sefer has got a shaila. Someone asked him like this: I wear a leather watch. Do I have to take it off for the ritzuas? What's the shaila? Well, the MSC is that the ritzuas is much easier. The main chatzitza is on the tefillin itself. Even on ritzuas, okay. So what's the shaila? The shaila is like this: my watch is made from leather, and so is this made from leather. And usually we have a rule that min b'mino ene choytzes. If it's the same type of material, it's not a problem. Yeah. So he says maybe this is leather, the watch, the strap is leather, so it's fine. So it's a part of it. But I've got a Birke Yosef. The Birke Yosef says that here different rules apply, and it should be lying on the body itself. Similarly, if someone has a haircut and there's a lot of loose hair lying on his forehead, loose hair, now that doesn't belong there anymore. Is that a chatzitza? Normally we would say min b'min, it's the same type of thing. Chido, kont chido, not. Now, lemaisa, most person are making on this. Just to come out, lemaisa, most person are making that we don't take on like the chido. Rav Shlomo Zalman Oevach, not as right that you don't have to worry about a haircut to get all the hair off. The chido says even water would be a chatzitza, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is making on that. Lemaisa, we are making. But there is such a chido. Interesting to know, Rav Padva is a bit, he does say ideally take the watch off. Don't have to because the two is anyway easier, but ideally he says you should. Now, according to the Chido, let's come back a minute, then Lechore Eh is also a problem because the Torah says, V'hoyel ukshatim l'ois al yodecho. It should be on your hand, or on your head. This is not on the head. So, but many poskim, maybe even most, and maybe the Chido himself even agrees to this, even though it sounds like from his lashon, it has to be mamish lying flat on the head, maybe he agrees to the following point. Many poskim say that it is basically an impossibility. It's impossible. For many people, it's impossible. It's impossible to avoid some gap to a certain degree between the head and the vayis. The vayis is flat and the head is on a curve. What do you want to do? The only edge will be to make tiny tefillin, which will be flat. But we've never heard such thing. It wasn't a minik, so it's for sure that we don't take on like that. And we pass in that. Either not like chido, or even the kunt chido, we take on that this is not a problem because this is natural. That's included in what the Torah says. The Torah says put on tefillin means put them on the normal way. So the Maaseh said this is not a problem. Most folks can take on, if not all, that this is perfectly okay, but the very important point, you have to make sure that the tefillin is at least above the hairline, which means avada there can be air between the bias and the head, but not below the hairline. It still has to be above, because you're saying this is called on the head, fine, but here is not head anymore, this is the forehead already, we need on the upper part of the head. So it can't be in the air above the forehead, that's in the head, above the top part of the head, which is the hairline. That's very important.
A curved hairline, you said in a curve, to pull it back. That's natural as well. Why, in that case, is it not?
Pull it further
back.
Because
you've got a bit of stubble to pull it all the way back. That's also.
Yeah, the difference is like this. We first have to work out where is the area of tefillin. Where on the head is tefillin? Not here, on the hairline. So first we have to work, where is the hairline? Well, if you go around the hairline, so it's above the hairline. Now that we know where the area of tefillin is, does it have to be literally lying on the spot, or can it be a bit higher? For that we say a bit higher is fine, that's normal. But a bit higher on the right place. If you go around the hairline, so the right place is above the hairline. Yeah?
Does the diet have to be...
Oh, the dal will come to you. Yeah, we come to the question now. okay, first another point. Come dal in a minute. The next point in tefillin, after discussing, you know, not too low, not too high, but the main point is not too low, even the lower part of the tefillin should not be below the hairline. And if it's a receding hairline, went through that. The next point is sideways. How do the tefillin have to lie? Yeah, sideways, middle. So that we have a Gemara. No, we don't have. No, the Gemara doesn't say clearly. Sorry. That we have a Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch quotes him, who says that since the pasuk says Bein Einecho, and we said Bein Einecho doesn't mean here, because we have a pasuk from Koch, it means on the hair. So what does the Bein Einecho tell us? In line with between the eyes. On the hairline, in line between the eyes. And therefore we know that the tefillin have to be in the middle of the forehead, which is in line between... The Ramban Be'emes al HaTorah says that the Bein Einecho is quite easily to explain literally, because he says that the nerves of the eye start in the forehead. So scientifically, medically, the nerves of the eye, says Ramban and Parashas Bo, start at the forehead. He says the right eye starts at the left side, the left eye starts at the right side, we know that from many other things. And therefore the tefillin are literally lying between the eyes, the nerves of the eyes. Okay, that's a side point. But anyway, we need a Bein Einecho. And therefore we know that ideally the tefillin should be as much as possible in the middle of the head to have this Bein Einecho. Now, how exact is exact? Well, that's a hard one. Yeah. That's a hard one. So here you got a bit of an extreme machlokes. I'll just bring down the machlokes because one of these hard ones. On the one hand, you got the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Baal HaTanya, who writes at the back of the Sefer, not Nichas Tefillin, at the back of Shulchan Aruch Rav, there's additions there where he writes, it has to be as much as possible in the middle, because Chazal say that the Tefillin have four parshas. Yeah, there's four lines there, three lines. Four parshas, Kaddish, Vekiviach, Shema, Vemishamaya. And the Gemara says that Kaddish, Vekiviach, be on one side, and Shema, Vemishamaya, the other side, and therefore should be as much as possible in the middle, and that's why many people will end up using a mirror for that, to make sure it's in the middle. That's on the one hand, you got the Shulchan Aruch Rav. On the other hand, to the other extreme, he got the famous Divrei Chaim. Very famous Divrei Chaim, that son Zerov has got tshuva, and he didn't want people looking at the mirror, especially in those days where Shalom LeSilva, Shadr Shalis. So he says, don't worry too much about exact. About the time get it, they say as much as possible, but don't worry too much about it, because the Gemara tells us that Mokim, Yesh, Veroish, Lishnei Tfilin. Come on, Erevin says there's a place on the head for two Tfilin. So don't worry too much, you got a place for two. So if you're only wearing one, which most of us do, some people wear two, but if you're only wearing one, so you don't have to, try and get as much as possible, says Shulchan Aruch. Oh, that's a big kasha. So we'll come to that in a second.
Otherwise, it's not in the middle, not Bein Einecho at all.
Oh. So the big kasha, which they're asking the Divrei Chaim, and many Achronim talk about this, the Munkash is Gaarich, as many others, they say, there's a bit of a shverikat here, because the pashas of the Rishonim is that the mocking for two tefillin does not mean next to each other, it means above each other. There are people today, especially those who are a bit into Kabbalah, there are people who will wear two tefillin. They'll obviously take small tefillin, but they do it one above the other. I don't know if you see that here. See it here? Let's only see it more. So I'll do it sometime. So they wear two tefillin, one above the other. But to say that the Gemara means one next to each other is a big chiddush. The Besiyosef has got such a havamina. Okay, it's all people ready to go into that. How did Divrei Chaim learn those Rishonim? Don't go too much into that now. But he zichel learned it means next to each other. And therefore says, don't worry too much about it. What do you do in the ma'aser of such machriks? I don't know. You got a Shulchan Rav on one hand who says it has to be exact in the middle, because the Gemara says that the two parshas have to be this side and the two parshas that side. Mamash exact in the middle. Your mamash got a hairline. He says to play around with, and the Divrei Chaim is much more making. Okay, I suppose like many things, you try to do one does. As much as one can. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam is not Chazach. This is where Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, normally the way two is Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. Okay. It's not Chazach. Yeah. The Maaser Shulchan Aruch says one should try and get it in the middle as much as possible. Tzorich lechaven aktitze. One should try and get the tefillin shetei beemtza in order to mekayem this bein einecho. So it's like everything. I suppose one does what one can, and that's how we mekayem the mitzvah. The last point of the tefillin, yeah, we've been through the bias, where is it, above or below, above the hairline, we spoke about the different hairlines, and now we spoke about sideways. Ideally, as much as possible in the middle, for sure shouldn't be too much sideways. This the Achronim Rat Kli, Im Divrei Chaim, who was quite makil, agreed, you have to do what you can. Shachol says, you do what you can to get in the middle, but he just wasn't so, he said if he preferred not to use a mirror for that, just to try and feel it with the hands, or and ask someone else, whoever, to get in the middle, okay, that's really two different minhagim. The next point in tefillin is the kesher. The kesher at the back also has its specific place, and that is a very interesting gemara. The gemara speaks a lot about it. Some points there. The gemara says that the kesher shel tefillin has to be higher rather than lower to be meramed as a klal yisrael lemalo, not lemato, and the kesher shel tefillin has to be klapei ponim. Rashi explains klapei ponim means in the middle of the back, not at the side of the back. But these are the two main points. The two main points of the kesher are that there should be higher rather than lower, whatever that means, we'll see in a minute. That's what the Gemara says, Lemala of Le Lemata. And there should be in the middle. That's what Rashi learns, the second piece of the Gemara, the second shtickle. Rashi learns, it means in the middle. Now, so where exactly is this place? Now, all first can agree on one point, and the next point is really not so simple. The one point everyone agrees is that the kesher has to be lying on the Mokim Sar, on the hair, very similar to the tefillin shel rosh, to the bayis itself, which has to be on the hair. And on the hair, we said, doesn't mean on the length of the hair, it means on the roots of the hair. Mokim korcho, where you pull out the hair, on the root, on the hairline, above the hairline. So to the kesher at the back, has to be on hair. Not only part of the kesher, exactly the same as the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, the entire kesher has to be lying on the mokim. Sar Mishbur says that im ktzei atachten shel kesher, if even only the bottom part of the kesher is below the hairline, now we're talking about the hairline in the back, yeah, the other end of the hairline, lo yotza v'avroch levatole. Very strict about it, very similar to shel rosh at the front, even the lower part has to be above the hairline. Same thing the kesher, even the lower part of the kesher has to be above the hairline at the back. So that's straightforward, and that's very easy to check. All you have to do is put your finger there and feel whether the lower part of the kesher, so you grab hold the lower part, and you put your finger next to it, and you feel, is it above the hairline? It's not easy to chop the hairline always, because some people have very loose hairs on the neck. That won't count, because that is really too low. When the Gemara says the kesher has to be above rather than below, above means the, I'm not sure how you call this in English, it's the oiref, not the neck. Not the oiref, the mula oiref. The nape, yeah, it's
on the skull.
Yeah, that will come to in a minute. It can be a bit below the skull, but it has to be not on the neck anymore. Not on the neck, even though there might be some loose light hairs there. That's not okay. Yeah, it has to be on the actual head still. Now, the next shali is a bit more exact. There are two parts to the lower part of the back of the head. I'm sure you call that in English. The skull starts here, the back of the skull. There are two parts to that. There is the bone, and there is the below the bone. So it's very easy to feel. If you put the finger there at the back, so there's the bone, which starts here, yeah, and it goes the whole way back, the bone. Then suddenly it curves inwards. The middle of the back suddenly goes inwards, and that's where the bone stops. It doesn't stop, it actually goes in the head, but okay, it stops on the outside. Yeah. So there is the bone, where it's still hard, and then you feel suddenly the bone is gone. It's gone in. It's still hair there. It's still the head, we're not yet on the neck. The neck is further down where there's no hair. It's still the head, but it's not any more bone. So where does the kesher have to be? That's a major machlokes, Shachu, and many, many others. The Mishmur comes out of the final psak, which sounds like a bit of a pshara, and he says, part of the kesher should be on the bone and part below it. Part of the kesher, ideally, should be on the bone. Again, ma'akev is ma'akev, it should be on the hair. That's very similar to shaliyad. There is the ideal place and there's the ma'akev place. Ma'akev is on the muscle, ideally at the lower part. Yeah, the shel rosh. Ideally is below, above the hairline, but as long as it's on the hair, anywhere on the upper part of the head is fine. The kesher also, it has to be somewhere on the hair. Ideally, part of the kesher should be on the etzem hagulgoyles, on the bone, on the hard part, which is quite easy to check, because when you press on the kesher, you will feel whether you're against bone or not. Is it soft, or am I pressing against bone? If the upper part of the kesher, upper part meaning, for those who have this is called the dalet. For those who have the dalet, dalet's got three boxes. Some people have four boxes, which is also a dalet, it's a double dalet. It's called a mem, but it's not a mem, it's a dalet. It's a dalet of shakai, the sheen dalet and the yud and the shaliyat. So it's just a double dalet. Yeah? So the upper part of the kesher should be ideally on the bone, and the lower part should be in the gap, which is below the bone, which is between the two veins and the sides of the neck, between there. That's ideally. If it's a bit high, a bit low, that's fine, as long as it's on the hairline. That's the halacha of the kesher. Now, one doesn't have to check this every single day, because if you get it once, then you know, if you check it out once properly, and zikha worth checking out, zikha worth doing it, and you know here's a K and here's a K, then it's fine. Now, it's not fine forever. We discussed at the beginning, the leather stretches, and the hair grows, and the person changes. So about every now and then one should check. The munkat shirats every half a year. If once or twice a year one should check. But essentially, if you do it, then it's zikha K for the next while.
When you put the shalwash on, should you give preference to the buyers?
That's an interesting question.
No,
not sure if it makes a difference. Both are ma'akiv. Yeah. That's just practically speaking. Once you've decided one way or another, so just practically you work out here and then you adjust somewhere. But really, they both have to be in the right place. Sorry?
You need to correct the kesher.
Yeah. If you're correcting it, for sure, the only way you can correct it is with a kesher, by making it bigger or smaller. There's one last point still, which we mentioned last time also, and that is, and this is where everything gets so complicated. Besides all this, you have to make sure that the tefillin are quite stiff on the head. Because the Torah says, Ukshartom le'os, you have to tie it on. Now, the Arishon would say tying means you have to make the knot each and every day. We don't pass them like this. So where is our ukshartom? Where do we do knotting and tying? By making it stiff. Says Sheikh Noach that the tefillin have to be hodik, mahudik, they have to be quite stiff. It doesn't have to be stiff till you turn blue.
Tight.
But it has to be quite tight. So if the tefillin are... That's the problem. Sometimes the person has a bit too big the kesher and he just didn't manage to get there. So he's pushing it up and he's pushing this up. Yeah, okay, the tefillin on the right place, but now the tefillin are loose and they're shaking all over. So in his haircut also, he had to be too low. So that's not stiff either. So you have to keep in mind, you got all these points. It has to be stiff, and it has to be in the right place. The tefillin has to be above the hairline, the kesher has to be above the hairline, and between all together, then one has become the mitzvah properly. To finish off with one small point, the very, very interesting bi'alocha, and his tefillin. And he's coming to answer a very famous question. The question is like this. We know we put on first talis and then tefillin. And the reason for that is, says the Shulchan Aruch, there's various reasons, but Shulchan Aruch picks one of the reasons, and he says, Malin Bakoidish. The Shulchan Aruch says, Malin Bakoidish. Talis is a mitzvah, but the tefillin is holier, the tefillin has got the Shem Hashem in it, Shem Shakai, it's a Tashmish Kedusha, the tefillin is definitely a very, very holy Chavit Shem Kedusha, so it's Malin Bakoidish, first talis, then tefillin. Ask many Achonim a very basic question. We have two rules when you have various things to choose of, what do you do first, what do you do second, there's various rules. One rule is Malin Bakoidish. You start one thing and then you go up to another thing. Chanukah, you start lighting one candle, then more, and various other mitzvahs, you go up. But we have a different rule. We have a rule in Korbanos that if you have a Chatas and an Oiler, you bring the holier one first, you bring the one that's more Kaddish first, and the Oiler will go first, at least the Evarim, the Oiler, which is holiest, Kulel Hashem, goes first. Because Kolam Mekudish Mechaveroi, the one who's holier goes first. So 1 minute, do we start with the less holy and then go up, or do we start with the holier one?
Sorry?
It's not Chaklal. Yeah, doesn't mean to mention it, but we stick now to these two, yeah. So the Achonim say there's a basic difference. If you're talking about two items, you have to pick your choice between a Korban Chatos and a Korban Oilo, the holy one goes first. If you go one item, of which you're going to go either big or small, you go one menorah. Now my question is, do I start with eight and go down to one, or do I start with one and go up to eight? If you're talking about one item, then you start lower and you go up. Malin Bakodesh, then you start the lower one, and then you go slowly upwards. Yeah? So the Achonim ask, when we have talis and tefillin, we're talking about two items. If we're talking about two items, the holy one should come first. The tefillin should go first. Why does Shulchan Aruch say talis is first, and then you go upwards? Those are the famous kasha. Answers Bialoche. He says the Gaon, in a few words, is answering this question, very few words. And what the Bialoche means is like this. Meridike tells me the chashivas of tefillin. Says the Bialoche, when we put on talis tefillin every single day, we are not dealing with two things. We are dealing with one item. And one item, you start low and you go up. What's the one item we're dealing with? The person. He says, when we went talis, when we went tefillin, the main dealing we are doing is bringing kedusha onto the person. These both items, they uplift the person, they pick up the person to a higher level. You're talking about one person, how he should deal with various mitzvahs, one item, you start low and you go up. First the talis, and then to the higher level of tefillin. Because we're talking mainly about this one person. Rav Shem Shapinkas has once said, I heard in his name, he said that the reason why, we'll finish with this, the reason why tefillin are black, and this halacha Meshim Sinai, that the tefillin have to be black, and the chayre wouldn't, the truth, but it's bias itself, everything, wouldn't it make more sense white? Kippur, davoide, chves, chashin, we find that white is a, why black? So he says, a scary thought is, he says that the tefillin have got such kedusha to them, such holiness, that in order for them to adapt to the body of a person and to connect to a body of a person, if they would be white, it would be too far removed. You have to blacken them, which we know black is more megusha, more covered up. You have to cover them up to a certain sense, so that the person should be able to attach himself to that kedusha of the tefillin, which is this be halacha, that we're talking about one person who, from talis to tefillin, and he moves up every single day.
Very good. Thank you, sir.